In 11th century Scotland, where ancient beliefs clash with emerging Christianity, a woman with unnaturally white hair and skin pale as moonlight arrives to marry the Thane of Glamis. This is Rossil, marked since birth as death-touched and witch-kissed, traveling with an entourage of women because men cannot bear her unveiled gaze. Her father, Duke Rybeard, has carefully crafted the fiction that she was cursed by a witch as an infant, better to be witch-cursed than a witch herself. As her convoy crosses dangerous territories, her identity shifts with each border. Lady Rossil in Brege, Lady Roselle in Bretagne, Lady Rosa to Norman lords. When she arrives at Glamis Castle, tragedy strikes immediately. Her trusted handmaiden Hawise is found murdered in the gardens, her throat slit. This brutal welcome sets the tone for life in this harsh northern land. Rossil quickly learns that survival requires transformation. Having been raised to abandon questions and instead find truth in whispers and glances, she applies these skills with increasing sophistication. What's striking about Rossil's situation is how her identity has been shaped by others' perceptions. Her father's political machinations turned her unusual appearance into a calculated advantage. Societal fear of female power transformed her natural attributes into supernatural threats. Yet within these constraints, we see the first glimmers of her determination to define herself on her own terms.
Macbeth is not Rossil's dream husband. Twice her age and widowed, his scarred face and calculating eyes see her merely as a tool. Their marriage begins coldly. When Rossil suggests framing the Thane of Cawdor for treason, Macbeth's interest spikes, recognizing her usefulness rather than recoiling at her cunning. This launches their unholy alliance. Macbeth takes Rossil to three ancient witches chained beneath the castle, their flesh hanging loose on bones. They hail him Thane of Glamis, Thane of Cawdor, and King Hereafter. The prophecy validates his bloodlust, while Rossil notices their unseeing eyes tracking her with interest. Later, Macbeth confronts her. "I know what you are," he rasps, breath wine-soured, "more than just a maiden cursed with supernatural beauty." He circles her, claiming to smell power on her like smoke from a pyre. Though terrified, Rossil denies it, but Macbeth demands her loyalty. "You are Lady Macbeth now, the dagger in my hand." When King Duncane visits Glamis Castle, Macbeth assigns Rossil to murder him. Though she agrees, she privately doubts her resolve. At the king's chamber, she finds his chamberlains neglecting their duty. When she commands them to be quiet, they obey instantly, her first taste of power over others. Inside, Rossil finds Duncane sleeping peacefully. Seeing his humanity, silver-threaded brows and smile lines, she realizes she cannot kill him herself. When the king stirs, crying, "Lysander!" in his half-dreaming state, her resolve falters. Yet as his cries grow louder, threatening exposure, she makes her choice. She covers his mouth and commands the enchanted chamberlains, "Kill him, please, make it quick." She watches detached as they stab the king, then orders them to kill each other, eliminating witnesses. Catching her reflection afterward, she sees not Rossil of Brege, but Lady Macbeth, transformed or merely revealed by the king's blood on her cheeks.
Prince Lysander brings unexpected complexity to Rossil's life, showing no fear of her veiled presence. When she contemplates suicide after Macbeth's cruelty, Lysander rescues her, speaking her native Brejoneg and offering compassion. "Whatever he has done, it is not worth this." Their connection intensifies when Macbeth orders Rossil to kill Lysander after his brother's escape. Instead, she removes her veil completely. As their eyes meet, passion overwhelms them. This vulnerable moment sparks their forbidden romance. Lysander reveals his own secret. He's cursed to transform into a dragon. "Alba's curse and my father's shame," he calls himself. During transformation, his clothes tear as iridescent green scales emerge across his chest. Rather than flinching, Rossil touches his scales.
This acceptance mirrors his acceptance of her unveiled face. Each embraces the other's true nature without judgment. Their relationship provides what her marriage lacks, genuine connection based on mutual understanding rather than exploitation. Beneath Glamis Castle, three witches stand in waist-deep water, condemned to wash blood-stained clothes eternally. When Rossel discovers them, she learns they are Macbeth's former wives, including Gruick, each betrayed and imprisoned by him. This revelation transforms Rossel's understanding. The witches possess no true agency. They merely reflect Macbeth's desires back to him, their prophecies shaped by his ambitions. Their prophecies weave through the narrative with toxic influence. When they tell Banquo he will beget kings yet be none, Macbeth's fears ignite, destroying their friendship. Macbeth orders Banquo's death through trepanation, drilling into the skull to release evil humors. The witch's final prophecies exemplify supernatural deception. Their assurances that no man of woman born shall harm Macbeth and he'll remain undefeated until the wood comes high upon the hill seemingly guarantee invincibility. Macbeth's triumphant laughter and renewed boldness demonstrate how prophecies can blind rather than illuminate. When Rossel discovers she's pregnant, Macbeth demands she bear only sons. Any daughters would be snuffed out. This reveals women's harsh reality, valued solely for producing male heirs. Rossel recognizes the pattern, a husband's initial pride at pregnancy, then dread of a daughter. Men either embrace wives carrying sons or force miscarriages of daughters through herbs or violence. When Macbeth declares his expectations, she simply responds, "I understand." In her chamber, Rossel confides in her handmaiden Senga, who offers wisdom about women's limited choices. "It will be over soon," Senga assures her, "once you bear a son." The novel shows women navigating systems designed to control them. When Banquo and Fleance torture Rossel for protecting Lysandre, they whip her mercilessly, demonstrating how male authority quickly turns violent when challenged. Yet women still find agency. As Rossel tells Fleance, "Men would never question retribution, but women must either accept injustice or tear apart the world itself." As Thelston's army approaches, Macbeth grows paranoid. Discovering Rossel's relationship with Lysandre, he violently confronts her about carrying the prince's monstrous spawn, then pushes her into the black water with the witches. The prophecy fulfills itself. Lysandre descends in dragon form, covered in forest debris, literally bringing the wood upon the hill. After killing Fleance, he transforms back and reunites with Rossel, who convinces him to reveal himself as Duncan's heir. Rossel realizes that as someone neither man nor woman, but beautiful, witch-kissed witch, only she can fulfill the prophecy that no man of woman born can slay Macbeth. When blood-soaked Macbeth appears mocking her powers, Rossel draws on her strength from the witches. Meeting his gaze, she watches his flesh waste to a skull as the three witches, previous ladies Macbeth, break free behind her. Rossel's triumph transcends becoming queen. It's about becoming fully herself, unveiled, speaking authentically. True power comes from claiming authorship of our own stories when society demands silence.